Hi. So this is Lydia McCullough. Yes. I have to remind myself of that. I keep wanting to call her Heckert. In fact, the honorarium check we gave her today says Heckert on it because Rob's crazy. Anyways, this is Lydia McCullough. She got married relatively recently. Mm-hmm. She is currently working at the National Office. She is the Executive Administrative Assistant to Stephen Cole, the Executive Director. Is that close?
Yep.
Let's go with it. Okay. Yep. She is here today at our invitation, our request. I don't know what she's going to talk about today, but I do know that the Lord has laid it on her heart. I do know her and her heart. I've gotten to know her. It's been so blessed to get to know her over the last 4 or 5 years. She's in a lot of meetings with me.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
He kind of walks around a lot. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Right? It's not just here.
So it's a hard time sitting still.
I do. So if you don't mind, I'm going to pray for you.
I would love that.
And then I'm going to let you do what God called you to do here.
Thank
today,
you.
Okay?
Thanks.
Father God, thank you so much for our sister Lydia. Thank you for her desire to follow you and her willingness, along with her husband, to brave the drive down here in the rain, to bring us a word, to bring us a message that you have laid on her heart. I pray that in the following moment she will be a conduit for you, that it will be your spirit that is spoken. And if you take her on a rabbit trail somewhere else, hopefully she will go with you, and so will we. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and for your grace. We anticipate incredible things because you are incredible. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Anyone else like curious how the hail fell? Because that really got me. That was good. Like Rob said, my name is Lydia, and I'm so excited to be here. So Rob and I have been talking about me coming to Phil, especially like he's going to be at the executive board meeting next week, so he obviously had to take some time to prepare for that. So if you can keep that in your prayers, that's happening next week, the executive board of the Brethren Church is meeting. But so we've been talking about this for a while, and I'm so excited. When Rob first told me what I asked him to give me a prompt for what to talk about, you know. And I'm going to be honest, I was a little bit annoyed at his answer because he basically just said, tell your story. I'm like, come on. I don't like to talk about myself. It's not a favorite pastime. I recently graduated from Ashland University with a degree in religion and philosophy, so I got super good at talking about what everybody else thinks so that I don't have to talk about myself. All of that being said, it's probably a good thing for all of those reasons that he asked me to do that, because that often means that I don't take enough time to reflect and spend time with the Lord. So that is what I'm going to be talking to you about today. Before we do that, I'm going to pray for myself, calm some nerves, and then we'll get into it. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to come and share what you've placed on my heart. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing and honoring to you. And I pray that whatever is not of you would fall away. God, we love you, and we're so excited about all that you're doing. And it's in your powerful name that we pray. Amen. So today, I'm going to make it really easy. I'm only talking about two verses. The Lord has put the word abide on my heart, so we're going to be talking about John 15, 4, and 5. It's up on the screen for you. Let me read this. It says, abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. So when I began to write this sermon, I kind of anticipated a typical sermon structure, you know, like the 3 points per whatever. hopefully, like, I was going to try to make it so that they all start with the same letter, because that's what cool pastors do. Right? I'm sure Rob does that all the time. However, as I started to do that, I realized that wouldn't really be all that authentic to what the Lord is doing with me, because I have been stuck on these two verses for about a month now, just kind of resting in these verses and kind of trying to learn what they actually mean. So a little bit about myself before I get into all of that. I've not had the hardest life. I have not had the easiest life. And as I've been reflecting on my life recently, like kind of figuring out what is my story, where has God shown up, it kind of feels like I've just had a series of unfortunate events for a lot of my life. So when I was in third grade, my parents were separated. And like before that was also not great with all of that. So growing up, there was a lot of fighting and a lot of things that just made me very unsteady. And then we also moved around a lot, so like I never really had a steady home. I moved 10 times by the time I was 20, which feels like a lot. And the worst bit was when I was in high school, my junior year, 2 weeks before my junior year started, my family member had a medical crisis in Pennsylvania, and so my mom and I moved out to be with them. And like, I have grown up a Christian. I grew up going to church, and I understood what that meant. But my relationship with God was not great, because the reason I accepted Jesus into my heart was just because I was really scared of going to hell. And so my entire relationship until that point had kind of been this, like, I will try to do everything to the best of my ability so that you don't get mad at me and you don't send me to hell. That was what my relationship with God was. So when we moved and when I was like plucked out of my community and thrown somewhere else that I did not want to go, and it was for somebody else, like we were going to help someone else, I kind of lost it. I was like, God, like I'm done. If that's what you think of me, like I've tried so hard to do my best and like you don't care that this is happening to me, then all right, that's fine. Like I can handle this on my own. So my junior year of high school, I like did not talk to God. I did not engage in anything. I was still going to church because I didn't want anyone to talk to me about what was going on. Like I wanted to pretend like it wasn't happening. So I still went to church, still went to youth group, but I was just checked out the entire time. And so that went on for the year. And then I finally, I was coming back to Ohio for the summer. I was super excited because I went to Camp Bethany every summer. And I'm sure many of you have heard of that. If not, it's the Brethren Youth Conference or Youth Camp that happens here every summer. And I had been going to that since I was in fourth grade. So like in all of the turmoil of my life, that was the one consistent thing from that point. And so I was so excited. I was like, finally I get to be with my friends. And the excitement kind of died a little bit when I realized that they were gonna ask me how my relationship with God was. I was like, I don't have anything to say to that. I've got no answers, no good answers at least. And so I decided 2 weeks before camp that what I was going to do was I was going to trick everybody. I decided that I was going to open my Bible and find something to read. And then that way, when I got to camp and they asked me that question, I would be like, oh yeah, it's great. Here's what I've been learning. And nobody would figure it out. So that was not maybe the best plan, but the Lord had something else for me. So what ended up happening was I opened my Bible and randomly landed in Jonah, which I don't know if you know much about Jonah. It is 4 chapters. It is very unlikely that you would just happen upon Jonah. I didn't even know at the time that it was actually a book. I thought it was just like a short story within another book. So I was like, okay, fine, this is as good as any. And I was reading through, and the Lord met me in a way that I had never been met before. And the part that really stuck to me was when Jonah was in the fish, and he's praying out to God. He doesn't make this like grand explanation of like, Lord, I have been a fantastic servant. I have been holy, and so I deserve to be saved. He didn't say that. What he said was, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he remembered me. My life was ebbing away, and I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. And the part where Jonah says, I remembered the Lord, is what got me, because it's like, in my like junior in high school mind, I was like, you forgot about God, and he still took you back, and he still saved you. That's crazy. And so for me, I was like, it's like the lights came on, and I finally realized what was happening in my life, that it was not God who was turning away from me. It was that I was not seeing the situation clearly, and I thought that God had left me and gone away. But he was just waiting for me to come back. He was just so excited to have a relationship with me that he was waiting for me to realize that he's been right there with me the entire time. So this was a really big turning point for me. I ended up going to camp. I did not lie to anybody. I told them exactly what my year had been like and how the Lord had kind of started to transform that. And then this also happened to be the first year of Brethren Academy. And so Corey Smith was leading worship at Camp Bethany, and then he also led Brethren Academy. And so he asked me if I thought maybe leadership was in my future. And I had just kind of started to sense this call into ministry. I was like, I don't know what this is, because I am literally the shyest kid ever. I never want to talk to anybody if I can help it. But I was sensing this call in me, and so I went to Brethren Academy, and the Lord continued to meet me and continued to show me what it's like to actually have a relationship with him. And so this was where things kind of started to change. In that aspect, my life did not get a whole lot easier, I will tell you that, because this was right around the time when I was starting to go to college, so I went back to Ashland so I could go to AU. So I was finally back in my community, but like all of my high school friends were gone, obviously. So I had to learn how to make new friends, and that was difficult. We also, my family was really struggling at the time. We were kind of fracturing over some political turmoil that was happening. And I also had my sister who came out as a part of the LGBT community at this time, and so that also really fractured our family. I realized that I was struggling a lot with mental health, which is really difficult to combat. And then, of course, COVID happened, so that was my junior year of college. So it didn't really get any easier, but what did get easier was me learning how to call out to the Lord. I learned that I wasn't in it alone. I didn't have to figure it out for myself. And so every time that something came up, and like I meet weekly with my spiritual mentor. I have since I was a freshman in college, and legitimately every week there was another thing where it's like, remember that thing from last week? Scrap that, because now there's this new crisis happening and we need to talk about it. And so every week it felt like there was something new. And so I got really, really good at saying, God, like, I'm in a fish again. Can you please come save me? And so what I learned is that God is always faithful, and God is always God in the valley of life. And if there's nothing else that you hear today, I hope that you hear that God is still God in the valley. We heard a lot of prayers earlier for things going on in this community, and my heart breaks for you guys. And I will definitely still be praying, but I just pray that the Lord meets you where you're at in that. So, all of that being said, I then graduated college. I met my husband. He's wonderful. We got married in April this year. We bought a house. We have two really cute cats and two really cute sugar gliders. They're kind of like flying squirrels. The two do not mix. The cats don't get to meet the sugar gliders. It would not go well. But now, for the first time in my life, I feel like my life is not in a crisis. It feels like the series of unfortunate events has kind of calmed down, which I know that's pretty premature. I'm sure there's something that's going to happen like tomorrow after I said that out loud. But I can't tell you like how beautiful my life is. And so I've been thinking about this because I've realized this. I'm like, wow, for the first time, it's like the clouds are gone. And about 2 weeks ago, I was thinking about this. But then I was also kind of realizing that I felt a little distant from the Lord recently, if I can be honest here and vulnerable. Life has been good, so I haven't had to call out to him anymore. And I realized that that's really the only mode of relationship that I've learned with the Lord. I haven't learned how to abide. And spoiler alert, I don't have the answers because, like I said, this was 2 weeks ago that I started to think about this. I got really good at calling out, like Jonah, being like, hey, I'm in a fish. Can you come, like, pull me out again? And the Lord's been really faithful. But what I haven't learned is how to just be with God as my friend. And so this is why the word abide has been on my heart recently. So again, this verse, abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. And the fruit that he's talking about is the same fruit that Paul talks about in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. And if you're not spending time with Jesus, who is the embodiment of all of this fruit, if we're not learning from him and allowing him to transform us, then we won't be able to produce this good fruit. Now, I hope I'm not the only one who struggles to figure out how to abide in the Lord in this busy time in our life. I have a feeling that I'm not, because I look around and I see a lot of, like, not lovingness and not kindness and not goodness. So if there's one thing that I think our world desperately needs, it's the list of the fruit of the Spirit. So, like I said, this is what God and I have been talking about for the past 2 weeks, and like I said, I don't have all of the answers, but I have some ideas that I'm going to try. As I read the scriptures, I'm a part of a Bible study, and we're going through the book of John, and so, you know, we see Jesus all the time taking some time away to be by himself and with the Father. We see him spending time in nature. So these are some of the things that I'm going to try. I'm going to try spending time with God and taking some prayer walks. And, like, this is really difficult because it takes time out of our already busy schedule. But I think that it's probably the most important thing that we could do. Like, you can make all of the money in the world and you can have all of the nice things that you want, but if you don't have God, we know that, like, none of it is worth it, right? So, three things. I got the 3 points. Here they are. Found them. 3 things that I'm going to do to practice abiding in the Lord. I'm going to spend more time in nature, talking to the Lord, because the only way that you can get to know somebody on a deep level is to talk to them. I want to find more of Jesus in the people around me. So I'm going to be paying more attention because I definitely don't pay enough attention. I want to pay attention to the Jesus that I see in every person in front of me, because we are all told that we are made in the image of God, which means for all of our differences, there is something in everyone that looks a little bit more like Jesus. So that's what I'm going to be paying attention to. And the third thing that I want to do to practice abiding in the Lord is to spend time reading his word with him, and like specifically with him. Because like I said, I graduated with a religion degree. That means I read a lot of the Bible, but like a lot of it was just for my schoolwork and not to spend time with the Lord. And so when I graduated, I realized, I was like, I've spent so much time thinking about you, but no time talking to you and figuring out what it is that you want to say to me through your scriptures. So this means taking time to pray through the scriptures, even if it takes you 2 months to get through two verses. And I'm not done, so it's probably going to take me longer than that. But I think that when we're not alone, when we're talking with the Lord and we're learning to abide in him, we get to experience the fruit of the Spirit. And that is amazing news. That's world-changing news, honestly. If we can have more Jesus in us, and if we can learn to abide in him as he abides in us, and learn what it means to be the branches on the vine. Because like the vine is what gets the branches life. Like that's where it comes from. And so if we can have God in our living and in our breathing, that is world-changing news. And I think that the world around us could be a better place. So that's really all I have for you. I'm sorry it's a little bit short, but that's where I'm at. That's the story that the Lord has me in, and that's like where I am directly in the middle of it. So if it feels like I'm stopping in the middle of a sermon, that's because I am. So I'm going to pray one more time, and then the worship team is going to come on up. Lord, I thank you so much for all it is that you're doing in our lives. I thank you that you give us a constant invitation to come back to you and to have life in you and life to the fullest. Lord, I pray that as we learn more about what it means to abide in you, that we would see the fruit that that produces, that we would be people of love and joy and peace and all of the rest. God, we love you so much, and we're so thankful for all that you do. And it's in your powerful name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lydia, for sharing this morning. Would you all please rise as we move into our music time? And I'm going to pray again to, you know, just because. Father God, we come before you again. We just want to thank you. God, thank you for the words that you had put on Lydia's heart, and thank you for the vulnerability. God, it is so easy to just, you know, push that all to the side, and it's fine, everything is great. But God, thank you that we can be vulnerable. God, it hurts. God, we're struggling. Lord God, I pray that this morning you would open up our hearts, open the eyes of our hearts to what you are telling us. And God, you are calling us to so much, and I pray that we will listen. Lord God, thank you for this time. And please be with us. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.